One of the most talked about movies of the year so far is set to hit theaters tomorrow. Based on the best-selling book of the same title, 50 Shades of Grey has been described as a cultural phenomenon. More than 100 million copies of the book have been sold. The movie's expected to pull down some serious cash as well. Here's a clip.
It's just beyond this door.
What is?
My playroom.
Like your Xbox and stuff?
It's important that you know you can leave at any time.
Why? What's in there?
I meant what I said. The helicopter's on standby to take you whenever you want to go.
Couldn't just open the door.
As you probably heard by now, the plot of 50 Shades of Grey revolves around the sexual relationship between main characters Anastasia Steele and Christian Grey, and features explicit depictions of sexual practices like bondage, submission, and domination. Fans of the series say it's harmless fantasy, but others have concerns that 50 Shades is promoting domestic abuse and maybe violence against women.
Amy Bonomi has done research on this topic. She's professor and chair of the Human Development and Family Studies Department at Michigan State University, where she looks at the long-term health effects of things like domestic violence and dating violence. She's authored two studies on the potential harmful effects of 50 Shades of Grey. Amy, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you.
So as I just mentioned, you've done some studies looking at the books 50 Shades of Grey, the series. You've authored a couple of pieces. What exactly were you looking for when you analyzed the book?
So in our first study, we took national definitions of domestic violence from the Centers for Disease Control, and we were really analyzing the book to better understand the abuse patterns that exist in the relationship between Christian and Anastasia. And in a follow-up study, we then surveyed women to ask about their readership of 50 Shades as well as their exposure to a range of health risks.
And did you see health risks of various sorts among the women who are reading 50 Shades?
We did. So in our study of about 700 women, women who read the 50 Shades books were at increased risk of having a verbally abusive partner, having a partner who showed stalking tendencies, so showing up in person when a person doesn't want them to, unwanted phone calls and text messages. They also showed signs of disordered eating, binge drinking, and having five or more intercourse partners in their lifetime.
So is this something where the book is causing this, or it's kind of a correlation? People who have these other things going on in their lives might be more prone to like this book.
Right. So our study couldn't determine causality, but we're arguing that the direction is really inconsequential. So if women experience these adverse health behaviors first, reading 50 Shades has a potential to reaffirm those experiences. And if they read 50 Shades before experience the health behaviors, it's possible the book could influence the onset of the behaviors.
Now, a lot of the attention to the books and now the movie are to its treatment to bondage, BDSM. And a lot of people say if done right, that's BDSM is okay. It's healthy, it's fun, as long as there's consent. So is the problem you see with 50 Shades that it portrays bondage and other activities or something else?
So you're exactly right. There's nothing inherently wrong with BDSM or bondage discipline, sadism, masochism, insofar as both parties consent in the activities and there's mutual agreement upon what the activities are going to be beforehand. So what we see in the relationship between Kristen and Anastasia is very different. Alcohol is used to impair Anastasia's consent. And there's intimidation and pressure used in a lot of their sexual interactions. In fact, Christian begins a lot of their sex scenes when he's genuinely angry at Anastasia. And that's very different than what we know about traditional BDSM relationships.
So let's get into the text and I suppose the movies. You are actually seeing behaviors in this that meet definitions, almost everyone's definitions of abuse, of domestic violence in some cases, domestic abuse. What kind of behaviors in the book meet those definitions?
Sure. So Kristen uses an interlocking pattern of abuse to control basically Anastasia's every move. So what are those behaviors? He stalks her. He intimidates her through a lot of verbal tactics. He isolates her from friends and family, so he gets angry at her when she gets together with friends, for example. And he minimizes the abuse that he inflicts. And so that's a very characteristic of abusers, to basically turn the abuse blame back on the victim. The other thing that he does that's very concerning is perpetrating sexual violence, and I mentioned that just a minute ago. He uses alcohol to impair her consent, as well as intimidates her and pressures her to participate in sex acts that she's uncomfortable with.
Now, there's one argument I've seen related to the books and the movie that, yes, these things are bad, but it's okay to have this fantasy presented about bad things. It doesn't mean that it will lead people to participate in these behaviors. It doesn't mean they really want these things to happen. This is a harmless way to play out maybe a dangerous fantasy.
So that's exactly right. So we're not suggesting that the books be banned or that the movie be banned, but really trying to raise awareness to get people to think more critically about the fiction that they're consuming and the films that they're consuming. So to recognize the warning signs of abuse, particularly the warning signs of abuse that we're seeing in the relationship between Christian and Anastasia.
Do you worry that reading these books, these behaviors being presented as ultimately appealing to the female character here, that this runs the risk of normalizing these patterns of abuse?
Absolutely. So this book is a glaring glamorization of violence against women. It really is perpetuating abuse standards. And so what the problem is that women who may be experiencing abuse in their relationship, having this type of cultural environment, whether it be fiction, film, music, that is perpetuating these types of abuse standards, makes it difficult for them to be able to distinguish when abuse is actually occurring in their own relationship.
I wanted to talk book versus movie here. The book is graphic. It presents these scenes, like you said, but it leaves it to our interpretation, the imagination in some cases. Do you worry that things that you're saying about the book may be magnified on the big screen since we're actually seeing it happen?
I actually have seen the film, so I'm not too worried about that. Just sort of as I mentioned just a second ago, it's just the overarching the underlying context in which we're all situated in our society with music and film. Really, those critical conversations teaching youth at very young ages to understand warning signs for abuse, to understand what healthy sexuality is, healthy body image, healthy sexual expression is really a critical need we have across our society.
So, as you mentioned, you're not looking for the book or the movie to be banned. Do you think, though, by and large, we'd be better off not reading it, not seeing it?
No, not necessarily. Like I said, just the real critical thing. This is a great opportunity for us to open a societal dialogue about violence against women in the same way that the Ray Rice case sort of brought to light issues of domestic violence in society in general, not just the NFL.
So let's talk maybe from the perspective of a parent. I guess kids, teens probably may read these books, may see the movie, whether their parent wants them to or not. How would a parent open up that conversation about what goes on in the book, in the movie, and what should go on in reality?
So a great place to start is to, talk to me about your reactions of the film. What were your perceptions of the relationship in the film? Tell me what drew you to like the relationship, what didn't you like in the relationship, to sort of open up the conversational space for young people to disclose what they are drawn to, what they're not drawn to sort of tease out some of the nuances and how people's perceptions are around relationships.
And should people be examining their own lives? You mentioned in your in the second study, you mentioned you talked to women who had read or surveyed women who had read 50 Shades of Grey and saw some unhealthy things happening in their lives, including being victims of various types of abuse. How should they be thinking about this book? How can we reach them to say, well, in fact, the book isn't normal. These are not good things to be happening in your life.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a great question. So I think our study is one step in that direction. So it really is, bringing to light some of the patterns that we're seeing among readers and non-readers. So opening a conversational space that these are health risks that we see. And we do see prior empirical studies that have shown similar associations between, for example, those who are exposed to pornography and attitudes toward violence against women, as well as children who play with violent video games and aggression in their own relationships. So, we've taken a look at it from a fiction perspective here.
We're talking with Amy Bonomi about the upcoming film 50 Shades of Grey. She's looked at the book and women who read the book and some of the unhealthy, dangerous behaviors portrayed in the book, and now looking at the film, wondering if it could promote domestic abuse, violence against women, and we want to hear from you on this.
Have you read the books? Are you planning to see the movie? Do you think there is something to this worry that 50 Shades of Grey could promote violence against women, or do you see it as harmless fantasy, as fiction? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. We're talking with Amy Bonomi about the new film 50 Shades of Grey, how it might be, the concern is, perpetuating domestic abuse, violence against women. This is a monster-selling book, likely to be a top movie come the end of the weekend. We want to hear what you think about it. There have been some protest organizers saying they're going to be protesting the opening of the movie in Wisconsin and around the country. You could call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Have you read the book, the books, actually? Are you planning on going out to see the movie? Do you think it is a harmless fantasy, or is it degrading to women, maybe ultimately endorsing domestic violence? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you could post on the Central Time Facebook page. We've got a Jim in Viroqua now to start us off. Jim, hi.
Hi there.
What do you think about this?
I'm not calling to specifically disagree with your guest. I actually haven't heard most of the interview up to this point, but I just wanted to say that I haven't read 50 Shades of Grey. I don't plan on seeing the movie. I don't plan on ever reading it. And I'm not sure if it necessarily promotes violence against women, but I think it's more indicative of a level of violence that permeates our culture as a whole.
Jim, thanks for the call. Interesting point. Maybe the book doesn't cause more damage, Amy, but it's reflecting pervasive elements in our society.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the book is a manifestation of the general tolerance that we have for violence against women in society in general. And I think we're seeing that in the demonstration in the book, but clearly the violence against women is normative in our society as well.
Now, this you're saying that you're hoping this starts a conversation, that the release of the movie gets us talking about these issues. That's part of what we're doing here right now. From what you've seen in the media, are you seeing a positive conversation being triggered in response to the movie release?
Yeah, so I think it is opening a conversation. So the debate that's happening, you know, the proponents of the film and the opponents, it's good that the dialogue is occurring. So this is it's a healthy conversation to have debate about what this movie is depicting, the different perspectives and how people can empower themselves in their own lives through these conversations.
Go back to our callers now. We've got Gloria on the line in La Crosse. Gloria, hi.
Hi. I was just going to say that, you know, I see this as one form of entertainment. You know, I watched Downton Abbey. I wouldn't want to be Lady Mary and have all the restrictions she has on her freedoms and her, you know, inability to express her intelligence. But I enjoy Downton Abbey. And similarly, I think you can read works of fiction and not necessarily agree with everything that happens to someone in it, but enjoy it for its art form.
Gloria, thanks for the call. So maybe we could appreciate 50 Shades of Grey as a story, as storytelling, and not be affected by an underlying message.
Absolutely. And I think the important point that she raises is what are the critical factors that allow somebody to see it as fiction and other people to take in the messages and potentially have it have a harmful impact on them?
Gloria, thanks a lot for the call. I don't want to dance around a side issue here too much. I haven't read the book myself. The reputation of it is not particularly well written, not well crafted as a story. Does that matter one way or the other to the issues of domestic violence and abuse that we're talking about? Or is that just a sidelight?
I think it's a side bite. I mean, clearly, when we did our systematic analysis and in examining really every interaction between Kristen and Anastasia using the Centers for Disease Control's definitions of domestic violence, we did show those widespread, consistent patterns of abuse that we see in domestically abusive relationships.
It seems like a key issue that we're talking about here is the issue of consent, and that's the big objection in the story that is told in 50 Shades of Grey. There's been a lot of talk on university campuses and elsewhere trying to promote this consent message. Do you see things changing? Are we paying more attention to that?
Well, there definitely are, you know, widespread societal conversations occurring right now, particularly on college campuses, around sexual violence and consent, and it is a critical conversation that we need to continue to have because we're just barely scratching the surface. We're in the infancy of those conversations. So this book is yet another means for us to open those conversations and have them more frankly in society. We need to do a much better job, starting very young, as I mentioned earlier, starting very young in grade school, through high school and into college. You know, we know children are affected very early on by messaging, so talking with them about these ideas is important early on.
go back to our callers now as we talk about 50 Shades of Grey with researcher Amy Bonomi. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts. Is there a damaging message here? 800-642-1234. We go now to Julie with us in Milwaukee. Julie, hi.
Hi. Actually, that's not my real name, but just for anonymity's sake, I want to tell you that I'm a psychologist in my 50s, so I've had a lot of both life experience and experience with a lot of men and women where I have the privilege of being able to really understand in a deep way their own selves and relationships. And I'm sorry, I don't know the speaker's name today.
Amy.
Amy. I think you're spot on. I, like many women, had to learn through my young adulthood, till my late 30s, what sexual coercion is within all other ways seems to be a loving relationship. And we're just barely helping young women understand what happens when they barely know the person, like date, rape, and that sort of thing. But it gets even much more confusing. That's confusing enough, but much more confusing when they believe they're consenting to something they really don't want.
Julie, thanks a lot. You bring up a great point, Amy, talking about within a relationship what one might otherwise look at as a loving relationship, and yet there's this coercion, this lack of consent, and trying to untangle that core coercion, the core abuse and violence from the rest of the relationship.
That's exactly right. I mean, she raises a very, very critical point in the sense that, you know, oftentimes when we think about sexual violence, we think about rape, penetration. But in many relationships, including especially those involved intimate partners or dating partners, there is something what we call verbal sexual coercion, which can come in very subtle forms and is an insidious form of sexual violence in terms of pressuring somebody to participate in activities that they are not comfortable with, whether that be intercourse, touching somebody, making somebody touch them when they don't want them to, that kind of thing.
And one of the criticisms I've seen of 50 Shades of Grey is the notion that that Anastasia, the female character, can change Christian Grey, that she can take these negatives and, I guess, work away from them and make it a positive relationship. And that's often often a road that women can't go down in the long run.
Well, right, and what we showed in our analysis as well is that Anastasia suffers the reactions that are typical of abused women. So she suffers, she's constantly feeling what we call perceived threat, so something dangerous is going to happen in the relationship. She engages in stressful managing, so she feels like she's walking on eggshells. She begins to change her behavior over time so as not to upset Christian, not to anger him. She loses her identity, and she becomes disempowered and entrapped in the relationship in response to his abuse.
Thanks a lot for the call. Brought up some very good issues. We'll go now to Adriana in Bayfield. Adriana, hi.
Hi. I think I'm in the minority here listening to this broadcast, but I actually don't think that the book promotes violence against women. I mean, I will definitely agree that there were, even when I was reading it, some things that distressed me a little. I mean, the, like, hyper-stalkerish tendencies of Christian Grey are definitely disturbed me a little bit, but I don't think that the like, BDSM nature of the book itself promotes violence against women. Now, are there some things there that definitely should be talked about as far as the way that Christian acts towards Anastasia? Yes, absolutely. But I don't think that the book in and of itself is promoting violence against women or is even condoning it necessarily. So thank you very much.
Adriana, thanks for the call. Amy, your thoughts?
Well, so that's a great point. So essentially, to go back to, there's nothing inherently wrong with BDSM, again, as long as the parties are consenting and they mutually agree upon the activities. We see a very different pattern, though, in 50 Shades, where the consent is violated through the use of alcohol and intimidation and pressure. And outside of the sexual interactions, the interlocking pattern of abuse that I described of Christian stalking, following Anastasia, hounding her with text messages and phone calls, the expensive gifts that he gives, those are all warning signs that when we're talking with young people, people in high school and people in college about what are the warning signs for abuse, it's that jealousy, it's that stalking, it's the intimidation, it's the verbal types of abuse that we see in that relationship between Christian Grey and Anastasia Steele.
Go back to our callers. We've got Catherine on the line in La Crosse. Catherine, hi.
Hello. Yes, I mean, I do not support the book or the movie. I really enjoy hearing what your speaker is saying about how it is coercive and it's hurtful. I just don't see it as contributing to a joyful, productive relationship, the give and take. I see it as very coercive.
Catherine, thanks a lot for the call. Amy, she agrees with you. What kind of messages would you like people to be talking about now as they come out of the theater, maybe, if they pick up the book and read it? What are the key things you want people to be talking about and thinking about after 50 Shades of Grey?
Sure. So I guess the critical thing is, was Anastasia empowered in the relationship? Did she have choice and agency in helping to shape the relationship that she wanted? You know, typically in the abusive relationships, and what we see in 50 Shades of Grey is that she's lacking that agency. She is perceiving threat and having stressful managing and losing her identity and becoming disempowered. So I would, you know, we'd be very interested in knowing what young people think, particularly young people, and whether they feel she's empowered, and if she's not, how is she not?
Briefly, plans to study people's reactions to the movie like you did with the books?
Yes, we are taking 40 undergraduates to the theaters this weekend, and we are going to do focus groups with them, discussions with them afterwards about their perceptions of their relationship.
Sounds like an interesting conversation. Amy, thanks a lot for being with us today.
Thank you so much.
That was Amy Bonomi. She's professor and chair of the Human Development and Family Studies Department at Michigan State University, where she looks at the long-term health impacts of domestic violence and dating violence. She authored two studies on the potential harmful effects of 50 Shades of Grey.